Greetings in the name of Jesus. My name is Imad Audi, and I hope this message will bless your heart, challenge your mind, and draw you closer to Jesus. Title for my message this morning is New Beginnings. New Beginnings. 2021 has ended and 2022 has begun. And usually at the beginning of a new year, many people make resolutions of what they want to achieve in the new year. A new year is a new start, is a fresh start. And many my message to you today is about the foundation of all new beginnings. Only you and God know what you have been through this past year. Some of us lost our jobs. Some of us are forced into changing career or changing lifestyle. Some have lost their partners or their loved ones, whether to death or divorce or whatever the cause may be. Some have lost their health and are forced to live their life with the knowledge of their soon death. Some have finished their study and are about to start their new career or gotten their new job or started their new business. As you listen to my message today, I do not want you to just think of the beginning of a new year. I want you to think about the beginning of everything you are thinking about starting. Some are starting new jobs or a new relationship or a new career or a new life. Whatever you are wanting to begin, to start or to restart, I need you to understand the message God has for you today. The first thing that comes to mind when talking about beginning of something is the beginning of everything, is the beginning of our world. So notice how the beginning begins. Notice what the Bible says. The first verse in the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In Genesis, the Bible begins with God. It says, in the beginning, God. He is just there. There is no explanation of where he came from. It just states it as a fact. There is a message in this one verse alone. There is a message in this fact, the phrase that says, in the beginning, God, or the fact that the Bible begins this way. There is a message in that. If you want to read this book, God is telling you, God is telling anyone who's holding the Bible in his hand, if you want to read the book you're holding, if you want to understand it and gain something from it, you must begin with God. The beginning of all the blessings in the Bible begin with God. Find their source with God. They find their foundation with God. In the beginning, God. And in the beginning of this new year, God is speaking to you. God is trying to tell you something. God wants you to understand that the beginning begins with Him. If you want a fresh start, if you want a successful business, if you want a happy marriage, you must understand that it all needs to begin with Him. In the beginning, God. If you start whatever you want to start with the principle, in the beginning, I, thinking that few chapters later you will add God to the equation, well, you will not have God's blessing. You must begin with God. My message to you today is very short and it's very straightforward and to the point. Begin with God or do not begin. The very next verse in Genesis says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. There was no form, no beauty, only void and darkness. And God walked into this darkness and makes something out of nothing. He creates a beautiful world, a perfect habitat for a perfect species. The first beginning in our universe began with God. Not only that, it began with God entering into chaos and turning it into something beautiful. All what you have to do is turn your TV or your radio on. And you will know that the world is in chaos. Some of us have lost our jobs, our partners, our health, our lives look like chaos. And we cannot help but think that 2022 has begun with chaos. And I'm here to tell you, yes, it might have begun with chaos. It is chaos. But if you begin your year with God, if you allow God to begin to be the beginning of your life in 2022, if you allow the Spirit of God to move upon your heart, God will turn the chaos into order, the darkness into light. He will fill your void with peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The message that I have for you today is this: begin your year with God. Begin your project with God. Begin your relationship with God. Begin your career or job with God. In the beginning, God. Now, I'm sure you would not have been here joining us today or listening to this message unless you have a desire to have God in your heart. And most probably you think that everything you did last year and everything you're planning on doing this year has God's blessing. After all, you are a child of God. You are a believer in Jesus, right? We're wrong. Just because you're a believer, it doesn't mean everything you are planning to do is from God. It does not mean everything you want to start has God at its foundation. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Bible says. So test all things. Examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Examine your project. Examine your plan. Now, before I tell you what that practically looks like and how you can examine your plan, I want to reinforce what I just said by sharing some examples. When thinking of the book of Genesis, the beginning of the Bible, the book about all beginnings, when you think of the book of Genesis, you can't help but think of certain people. Firstly, you think of Noah. You know the story how God wanted to destroy the earth and then he saw Noah. So he speaks to Noah and tells him to make an ark. And God says, "And behold, I do bring a flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee, with you, will I establish my covenant. And you shall come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." God called Noah for a special purpose, to do a special job. But before he sent him on his way to begin building the ark, God told him, "I will establish my covenant with you," meaning I will be with you. My presence is your strength. You are my special man. You are mine. God entered into the chaos of this planet at the time when every imagination of the heart of man was evil, as the Bible says. And he chooses a man and gives him a job that gives humanity a second chance, that gives humanity a new beginning. Noah begins his new job. Noah's beginning of his new career and job was found in God. It was God who called him, God who directed him, and God who blessed him. Without Noah, humanity would have ceased to exist, right? Yes, we all come from Adam, but then we all come from Noah, right? Because all humanity was wiped, Noah and his family stayed. Meaning, Noah's calling was much bigger than Noah's own life. His purpose was greater than his own life. So Noah's new beginning not only started with God, but it had a greater meaning than his own existence. There was a greater purpose for saving Noah than Noah. All right, so that's our first person sort of that sticks out in Genesis. And then as we go in the story in Genesis, we read about Abraham. Notice what the Bible says about Abraham. "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, question, why did God tell Abraham, or Abram at that time, to get out of his country and his kindred? Joshua gives us the answer in the Bible. Notice what he says. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. So prior to Abraham's call, Abraham and his family were living in an idolatrous environment. And God walks in the midst of this idolatry, in the midst of this chaos, and calls Abraham out of the chaos into order, out of the spiritual darkness into the light of his presence. Abraham began his new life with God. God directed him, blessed him, and protected him. Now, make no mistake. Abraham's calling was not purely about Abraham. God wanted to make a great nation out of him. God's people came out of Abraham. His calling, or Abraham's calling, had a much greater purpose than his own personal life. God told him, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So in the midst of the chaos of idolatry and spiritual darkness, God calls Abraham to a purpose that is greater than Abraham's life. And Abraham's journey begins with God's presence. Now, are you getting the picture? God keeps walking into chaos and darkness. He gives a new beginning to someone and a purpose that is much greater than that person himself. That's what we're seeing through Genesis. That's the message that keeps coming up. Now, the next person that we read about, after we read about creation, we read about Noah, we read about Abraham, the next person we read about is Isaac. Now, Isaac was a promised child, and God was with him from the beginning. Nonetheless, after Abraham died, Isaac's father, after Abraham died and the famine hit, God spoke to Isaac, and notice what we read. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him, that's unto Isaac, and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee. And will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father. Again, during a time of famine, a time of chaos, God calls Isaac. He appears to him and tells him, I will be with thee. Isaac, I know there is famine in the land. I know life might get tough, but I want you to understand that I will be with you. I will bless you, and I will give you all this land that you see. Isaac's life began with God, and after the death of his father, he maintained his commitment to God, and God promised to be with him. God was going to fulfill in Isaac the promise that he made to Abraham, to give him a land and to make a great nation out of him, right? A nation from whom the Messiah, Jesus, will come. So God walks into chaos, into darkness, into famine, and brings order, light, and completeness. But it all begins with his presence. He chooses a person, gives him a purpose worth living for, a purpose that is much greater than the person himself, and promises to be with him. If you want success in 2022, learn from these stories. We are living in a world of chaos. Many of our personal lives are in chaos. We are living in a time the Bible prophesied about by saying, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee and his glory shall be seen upon thee. I beg of you, recognize the time we live in. it is time of darkness. It is time of gross darkness. Now, this is not talking about physical darkness. It's talking about spiritual darkness. There is a much bigger picture in the world today than COVID and vaccines. Many are spending all their time worrying about dying from the virus or dying from the vaccine. What God wants you to recognize is the time of spiritual darkness we are living in. Stop being obsessed with the physical world you are living in and start recognizing the spiritual realities behind these things. God said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." It will be absolutely stupid if we obsess ourselves and occupy ourselves and spend all our time looking for physical famine and ignore the spiritual famine God prophesied about. We are living in this time. There is spiritual famine in the world. There is spiritual darkness in the world. Now, I'm sharing these things with you for a reason. Yes, first and foremost is so you can recognize the time we are living in. It is the time God spoke about that it will be time of darkness and famine. But I'm not sharing it so you can obsess yourself with the physical darkness and famine. Not so you can obsess yourself with the virus and the vaccine and the things that you see with your physical eye. And obsess yourself on and how to avoid it, whether the virus or the vaccine or whatever you're trying to avoid and so forth. That's not my purpose. I'm sharing it with you so you can recognize that when this time comes, and it is here, God will do something. Let me highlight the verse to you again. It says, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." Yes, there will be darkness. Yes, there will be famine. Yes, there will be chaos. But that is not how the story ends. The Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Don't be obsessed with the physical. Don't be burdened with the darkness and chaos, the physical stuff that you see. Recognize who you are, recognize your calling, and recognize that it is time for a new beginning. It is time for your calling. It is time for you to shine, because God will shine upon you. God knows you are broke. God knows you are sick. God knows the doctor said your days are numbered. God knows your life is in chaos. But he comes in the midst of all this and says to you, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." So I'm here today to tell you, recognize the time. Recognize your calling. Understand that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You want a new beginning? Begin with God. Now is your time. Now is your shift in the midst of all the darkness and chaos. When all hell is breaking loose, when all the world is in chaos, when darkness has filled the earth and gross darkness, the people understand, realize, recognize that it is your time to shine, because in the beginning, God. Now, the story in Genesis goes on to talk about Jacob. After he lied to his father, I'm not sure how familiar you are with the story of Jacob, but after he lied to his father and was sent to his uncle's house, Laban, to find a wife, as he began his journey, which set him on a new path, a new life, away from chasing his inheritance by deception and away from his family, right? While on his way, he falls asleep and dreams of a ladder at the top of which he saw God. And the Bible says, "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." Again, we see the same scenario, God walking into the chaos of life, the chaos that was happening in Jacob's life. He just left his mother's house, the comfort and security of his home. He knew his brother is angry with him. And in the midst of all this chaos, God appears and says, I am with you. I am giving you a new beginning, Jacob. I know you lost your home. I know you lost your parents. I know you lost your comfort and security, but don't worry. I will be with you. God repeats the same promise he made to Abraham and Isaac. I will give you a land. I will make a great nation out of you. And in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. God gave Jacob a purpose to live, a purpose to fight, a promise that is much greater than life itself. The Messiah will come out of you. Jacob's life away from his home began with God. It began with the presence of God and a purpose much bigger than his own family, just like the stories before it, the same things we see in it. Now, the next figure we read about in Genesis, again, is Joseph. Now, Joseph was sold into Egypt from the favorite son to a slave, bought and sold in the marketplace. This is the pinnacle of personal chaos. Away from home, away from family, his own culture and people, and people that speak his own language, and so forth. As he began his new life, the Bible says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Even though Joseph lost his lofty position as the favorite son and took the lowest job as a slave, God was with him. Joseph made a choice to begin his new life with the Lord. And as you already know, God blessing Joseph was not only for Joseph. He turned out to be the savior of Egypt and the savior of his own family and tribe. You might have lost your lofty position and had to take a job you hate in order to provide for your family. You need to understand that this has nothing to do with God's presence. God is still with you. God will be your rock and defender. Jesus promised, "Lo, I am with you even unto the ends of the world." Jesus is with you. It doesn't matter what happened. It doesn't matter who leaves you. It doesn't matter who walks out of your life. It doesn't matter what the doctor tells you. It doesn't matter what the boss tells you. It doesn't matter what life and your feelings tell you. God said, "I will never leave you." Believe it. Hold on to it. So the book of Genesis ends with Joseph, right? Joseph is the last prominent figure mentioned in the book of Genesis. So the book of Genesis, from creation all the way to the last important figure mentioned in it, speaks one message to us today. In the beginning, God. Begin your life with God. Out of chaos, God can bring order. Out of darkness, God can bring light. Choose to walk with him. Choose to make him the foundation of whatever you want to start. Now, moving on from Genesis onto Exodus, the book begins with chaos. Pharaoh making the lives of God's people difficult by making them work hard, then ordering the midwives to kill all the baby boys, then throwing all the baby boys in the river. And in the midst of this chaos, Moses was born, who was raised in Pharaoh's house as a prince. Then his life goes in chaos because he killed the Egyptian and ran away. And in the midst of all this chaos, God appears to Moses, speaks to him from the burning bush, and says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." So God is appearing again in the midst of chaos. And Moses asks, and Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Lord, are you for real? I mean, do you really want me and nobody, a traitor to Pharaoh, a traitor to Egypt? You want me to go to Egypt and to go to Pharaoh? Who am I that Pharaoh will listen to me?" And notice what God tells him. And he, that is God, said, "Certainly I will be with thee." Moses asked, "Who am I?" God said, "You are the one I am going to be with." That is your identity, Moses. That is how you are going to begin your new life. That is how you are going to begin your new identity, your new job, your new leadership, your new relationship with my people. You are going to begin this journey with the identity that I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. God appears in the midst of chaos again, gives Moses a new job and a new beginning. And he tells him that the foundation of your new job, your new life, your new beginning and identity is found in this one phrase: "I will be with you." And this phrase carries Moses through Exodus, Leviticus, Number, and Deuteronomy. So in the first five books of the Bible, we see the same story and the same points happening over and over again. In the story of Moses, we have the same three elements that we discovered in all previous stories: chaos, then God's presence, "I will be with you," and then a purpose or a mission or a dream that is much greater than the dreamer. A dream that is not about the dreamer, but is about God's people. Moses' calling had to do with God's people more so than with Moses himself. Are you catching what God wants you to know as you begin this new year, as you begin whatever resolutions you have, whatever plans you have, as you begin them? Are you catching the point, the vision that God wants you to understand in 2022? All this journey began with God. The first five books of the Bible scream out the message to you and me today: in the beginning, God. All meaningful beginnings, all successful journeys must begin with God. So as you begin the new year, as you begin your business, your relationship, your unemployed life, your journey towards your grave, because the doctor told you there is no coming back from your sickness. As you embark on any beginning, be it for good or for bad, the question that you need to ask yourself is this: am I beginning it with God? Is God my partner in this journey to life or to death? It doesn't matter. Is God my guide and helper in this journey? Is God my rock and foundation? Is he my compass in this journey? Yes, I know your life has been thrown into chaos, but you need to understand that God can bring order out of chaos, light out of darkness, and peace out of trouble. So, how can I know if this journey, if this, dreams that I have for this year, how can I know that they are founded on God? How can I know if this journey I'm embarking on is with God? Just because you ask God to bless it, it does not mean he will bless it. Just because you invited God to your party, it does not mean he's going to show up. In all these stories, God was first. So is God first in your dream, in your ambitions, in your vision for 2022? Is God first? How can I know that? Well, here are few pointers. You can test your dreams, your ambitions, your plans by. I'm sure there are many more pointers that you can think of, but here are a few that came to my mind this morning. First of all, are your plans based on selfishness? What do I mean by that? I mean is that when we examine the stories in the first five books of the Bible, the stories that we just looked at, we discover that God's purpose and dream and vision for each man he called involved many others. God's calling for these men was designed to bless others. Their calling was for a greater purpose than their own lives. So, as you begin your venture, ask yourself, will others be blessed by it? If your venture is only to bless you, what makes you think that God will bless it? The Bible says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or empty pride, but in humility consider others more important than yourself. Now, don't get me wrong. We work so we can make money. We start business so we can make money. There is nothing wrong with wanting to make money. But if the end result is you getting rich and hoarding all the blessings that God will send your way, then there is something wrong with your plan. It is a selfish plan. And you can be 100% sure that God is not the foundation of it. God is not Santa Claus. He is not in your life to serve you. He is not your servant. You are his servant, and you enter his plan to serve him. God wants to bless you so you can bless others. The only way to be blessed is to become channels of blessing. And if God is in the beginning of your dream, it will definitely involve blessing others. So the new resolution you have for this year, does it involve others? Will it bless others? If you find something bigger than you, God will help you. Don't be selfish. Let your plans involve blessing others. Let your plans place you in a position where you are a channel in the hand of God to pass blessings to others. And if you are in this business, then God is in the business with you. But if you are in the business only to hoard blessings, only for selfish reasons, you are in that alone, because God is not in the business of selfishness. Okay, so that's the first point. The second point you can test your dream, your ambition by is, what is driving your plan? Why do you want to accomplish what you want to accomplish? Why do you want to become a farmer or a teacher or a doctor? Why are you looking for a girlfriend or a boyfriend? Why are you protesting against whatever it is that you're protesting against? Are you motivated by anger, resentment, and jealousy? Are you looking for a new partner just to rub it in the face of your ex? Are you wanting to become a farmer or a teacher or a doctor just to prove to your dad or to your brother or to your neighbor that you are better than them? Are you protesting against whatever it is you're protesting against because you got in a fight with someone in the opposite side and you are angry and you want to rub it in their face? What is driving your dream? Is God at the beginning of your dream, or is anger and resentment at the beginning of your dream? What is your motive? Don't expect God to bless your dream if it doesn't find its beginning with Him. James says, when you ask, you do not receive. You do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasure. Start the year right. Start your dreams right. Begin your life right. And to do so, you must ask God to set your motives right. Just because you are doing the right thing, it does not mean you are doing it for the right reason. The motive of your dream is very important. If you want God to bless your plan, make sure it is based on pure motives. Okay, the third one is, how will it impact your walk with God? You set a resolution this year to do something, and you know in your heart it will take you away from God. It will bring things into your life that are not godly. You want to start a business, but you know selling your product will require you lying to people. You want to chase this particular girl or boy, but you know this relationship will get you to do things that are not godly. How will your plan impact your walk with God? And how will it impact others' walk with God? The Bible says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Can you truly embark on this journey and say that God was at the beginning of it? Whatever journey you're planning, whatever plan you have in your mind, whatever ambition you have in your mind, whatever dream you have in your mind for 2022, can you truly embark on this journey and say with a clear heart and a clear mind that God is at the beginning of my dream? If not, don't do it. Don't think that you can start your journey with, in the beginning, Stephanie, then a couple of chapters later, add God to the equation. It won't work, or at least it won't be blessed by God. What is your motive? What is your purpose? And how is it going to impact your walk with God? The fourth point, the fourth question you need to ask yourself is, is there peace in your heart, in my heart, about my goals? Or am I troubled? If God is in the mix, you will have peace. Jesus says, I have said these things to you that in me, you may have peace. In me, you will have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But take heart, take courage. I have overcome the world. The world can be in chaos, but you can have peace if you are walking with God. In me, Jesus says, you will have peace. So when you pray, when you think about the things you planned, when you pray about the project you have in mind, do you have peace in your heart about it? Regardless what this year will bring your way, life or death, riches or poverty, quietness or trouble, you can have peace through it all. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Just because life is not going the way we want it to go, just because my partner is not coming back, my health is not coming back, my business is not coming back, it does not mean God is not with you. It does not mean you cannot have God's peace. Even if you know this year is looking gloomy and death awaits you, you can still begin your journey with God, because your walk with God transcends death. Your walk with God transcends death. Jesus promised, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die." In the beginning, God. No situation could take you away from this foundation. No life, no death, nor principalities, nor powers, nor anything that is present in this world or outside this world can take you away from God, can take this peace away from God. If you build your life, your business, your relationship, your journey towards death, if you build it on God, you are set. You are safe. You are secure. Okay, and the last point that I have for you is this. If you believe your ambition, your dream, your journey does begin with God, then you must understand that you need to endure the process. In all the stories that we read, the most assuring and empowering thing these men had was the presence of God. Their life was full of change and turmoil, but they kept going. Do you know why? Because they found the absolute in variables. They found the fixed in the sinking sand. They found the unchangeable in their changing world. To keep going, you must find an absolute in variables. And God is the absolute. They knew that even if all hell broke loose, God is with them. God is the foundation. They took God's promise of his presence as their absolute. And even when life got tough, they knew that his presence and promise is unmovable, unshakable, unchangeable. God never promised any of them a life void of trouble and hardship, but he promised to be with them. I hope you are understanding what I'm telling you. I guarantee you that this year you will face hardship. Hardship will come your way. I'm not saying it because I had a vision. I'm not saying it because I'm a prophet or I had a dream. I'm saying it because I know we live in a fallen world and bad things happen to good people, especially when they are walking with God. God never told Joseph he is going to be sold in Egypt, be a slave and a prisoner. But he told him in a vision that everyone will bow down to him. God never told Moses that he is going to get so depressed that he will wish he could die. But he told him, "I am going to be with you." God never told Jacob that he's going to be defrauded by his uncle and work 14 years to marry the woman he loved. But he told him he is going to be with him. Are you getting what I'm trying to tell you? The presence of God was with Moses when he marched into Pharaoh's palace with his head lifted high, and the presence of God was still with Moses when he was on the floor on his knees begging God to die. Your situation, your feeling, and the world around you does not change God's promise and does not take God's presence. When you have optimal health, God is with you. When the doctor tells you your sickness is unto death and there is no coming back, guess what? God is still with you. You see, and back to Moses, even still, the presence of God was still with Moses when God was going to kill him. Yes, God was going to kill Moses for not circumcising his own child. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Even when you err, when you do mistakes, when you go down the wrong road, even then, God is still with you if you are walking in his plan. Notice the story in the Bible about Moses says, on the way to Egypt, Moses stopped at a place to spend the night. The Lord met Moses at that place and tried to kill him. God tried to kill his chosen man before his chosen man began on his mission. But Zipporah took a flint knife and circumcised her son. She took the skin and touched his feet. Then she said to Moses, you are a bridegroom of blood to me. Zipporah said this because she had to circumcise her son. So God let Moses live. God didn't promise that you will not die. He only promised that he will be with you. God did not promise that your business venture will not have rocky stages. He only promised that he will be with you. God did not promise that your marriage will be perfect. He only promised that he will be with you. Even if the business venture fails, he will be with you. Even if your wife or husband leaves you, God will be with you. Just because your husband or your wife left, it does not mean God left. What I'm trying to tell you is that as you begin your year, your new year with God, as you build your new life, new year is a new beginning, is a fresh start. As you build your new life, as you build your present and your future on this foundation, in the beginning, God, you must understand that there is a process to go through. And doesn't matter what the process brings, it does not change the promise of God. God's promise is greater than the process. And God's presence is greater than the process. So stick with God. Walk with God. When you are up, God is with you. When you are down, God is still with you. God will not forsake you when you fail him, just like he did not forsake Abraham when Abraham failed him and lied about his wife and when he married Hagar. God will not forsake you when you want to give up, just like he did not forsake Moses when Moses wanted to give up and die. The most important thing you can get right at the beginning of this new year is this. If God is at the beginning of your life, and if God is at the beginning of what you want to do, God will be with you all the way. Even when you fail, even when life gets hard, even when sickness gets the best of you. So to hell with COVID and all the diseases of this world. To hell with the dark powers of this world and all their secret plans. To hell with all the fear tactics, whether about the virus or about the vaccine. All the fear tactics of the world is using to scare people. To hell with all of it. If God be with you, who can be against you? In the beginning, God. I keep repeating it because I want you to get it. If this is the foundation of your life, if this is the foundation of whatever you want to do in 2022, nothing can shake you. Nobody can scare you. Nothing can take you, can snatch you out of Christ's hands and the hands of the Father. That's what Jesus promised, that you are in my Father's hand, he said. There is where my story begins, and there is where my story ends. Everything else is really insignificant. In the beginning, God. And he that began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Stick with him. If you build your life on this foundation, and if you accept his promise that he is with you, you will have something unshakable and unmovable. So to repeat the points I mentioned regarding how to know if you are starting your plan with God at the foundation, how to know if the ambitions that I have, if the dreams that I have are really built on the foundation in the beginning, God. So here they are, to repeat them. Number one, purpose. What is the purpose? Are your plans based on selfishness? Will others be blessed by it? What is the purpose of it? Are you the sole beneficiary for this plan? If you find something bigger than you, God will help you. If you find something bigger than you, God will help you. What is the purpose of your plan? Second one is motive. What is driving your plan? What is behind your plan? Is it anger? Is it jealousy? Is it envy? Examine your motive. Why do you want to do what you want to do? Number three, impact. How will it impact your walk with God? Will it bring things in your life that will push God away, or that will take you away from God, from that which matters in your life? Will it bring things in your life that will push you away from your family, from your marriage, from your children? How will it impact your life, your dream, your vision? Examine it before you enter it. Four, peace. Is there peace in your heart about your goal, or are you troubled? Is your spirit at peace with it, or is God not giving you rest about it because he doesn't want you to do it? You got to examine these things. You got to be honest with yourself. 2022 is a fresh start. Don't blow it. We've already done so many mistakes and blown so many opportunities, and we've wasted so many years. Don't do the same mistake again. And the last one, process. If you believe it to be from God, you must endure the process. Regardless what happens, never forget that nothing can take God's presence from you. God is the absolute in your life. His promise and presence is greater than the process. So it doesn't matter how many variables come into your life. It doesn't matter how shaky your world will be. God is your absolute. His promise is your absolute, is your rock and your foundation. It is unshakable, unmovable, unchangeable. Hold on to it. Believe him and build your life on the foundation in the beginning, God. I hope you got something out of this message. I hope it will impact your plans for 2022. And I truly pray with all my heart that this year will be a different year for all of us. Different in a good way. That even as we know, the world is getting worse, but our walk with God will get better and better, and we will shine because his glory will shine upon us. Amen. I'll leave it with that. Let us close with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven above, Lord, we want to thank you with all our hearts for your promise to be with us. We want to thank you, Lord, that through your Son, Jesus, you have promised, you said, I will be with you. I will never leave you. We thank you, Father, for that promise. And Lord, as we enter this new year, as some of us enter into new projects, new jobs, new relationships, or whatever it is, a new walk in life, I pray, Lord, that you'll be at the foundation of all these things. So your light will shine upon us. So your plan will shine in our life, and many people will be blessed as a result, Lord. We love you. We give ourselves to you. We leave all our joys, our troubles, our blessings, and our difficulties at your feet. And we thank you for it all. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have been blessed by this message, please share it with others and do not forget to subscribe. God bless you.